Hey guys, it's Alexis and Samantha of A Double Dose, and we're back with our second episode today. We're so happy to be back with you guys. I know a lot of you guys saw that we posted our first episode way before we even knew that it was up on iTunes, so glad to have you guys listening again. Thank you so much for all of you guys who have subscribed and have rated and reviewed us. It means so much to us, and we're having so much fun being back. So today we have a lot of stuff we want to share with you guys and kind of talk about. We have had a few requests come in through Instagram messages or email, and just so you guys know, you can always message us with topic ideas or questions you guys want us to cover, and we'll do our best to cover them eventually on this podcast. But we love hearing from you guys and covering stuff that you actually want to hear. Obviously, we have stuff that we want to share, but it's always nice to get ideas from you guys. So we're going to talk about a topic that I think is really relevant to a lot of millennials specifically. And I think,
oh my gosh,
I'm laughing because like TMI, but I'm like getting too hot. So I gotta take off my
so hot in here.
Yeah,
that was a good rendition.
I think they'll stick to the original.
I do not have a singing voice.
Sorry guys. Okay. Okay, and I say a lot. I listened to like 5 minutes of another episode. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so irritating.
I know. We went through millions of speech classes. Literally,
all I say is and so
a bunch of filler words.
You're worse than
I know. I know I am.
Anyways, so we're going to talk about something that's really relevant to, I think, millennials specifically. I mean, I think it's also relevant to people that some of these things are relevant to people that work other jobs, but specifically being self-employed. I think there can be a lot of pros and cons, obviously, like anything else, but we kind of want to talk about it because our job is a little unique in the fact that blogging is something, an industry that kind of popped up recently in the past couple of years. Before that, there was, no one even knew what a blogger, an influencer was, but it's very similar to being self-employed, and with that, like I said, comes a lot of pros and cons. So, of course, with the positive, we'll start off with kind of what we think
we'll start off with the good.
Yeah, with the good instead of being super negative. Like, I tend to be a lot, but if I'm being honest, depending on the day. Like, today was one of those days we were both feeling very negative, and we do not feed off each other in the best way. Literally, it's been raining here for the whole week. So I don't know about you guys, but that makes me super depressed. And we were just taking pictures today, and it was just not turning out, if I'm being honest. Life problems, but we couldn't get the lighting right. We were frustrated.
Well, I think it's different from, what you see on Instagram. Everything looks really perfect and
bright.
Right, no, and, it just looks like it was very easy to do. Just an easy day. Here we go with the behind the scenes, we're struggling to get the lighting right. We have a deadline for a brand.
We're yelling at each other.
It's really good communication.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, that's the reality behind all our pictures. We're like,
okay, back to the positives. Because we're already going negative. Negatively, if I'm having correct grammar. Okay. So the pros, I would say for sure, are that you get to set your own hours. This is something that's probably not a positive for a lot for some people, but for us, like we've said before, we're very type A. And I always said when I was at my corporate job, I was like, I wish I could just be like, I would work late at night. I don't care. I just want to leave the office and not be stuck in traffic. But of course, it's not the reality. So for me personally, I love being able to wake up and I can start working. Or if I want to go take a workout class, I can do that early in the morning. Or I can go at 10 a.m. and get work done before and come back and do work after. But I will say there's almost every night I'm doing stuff like way past the normal corporate job time. There's well away, past 5 or 6. There's not a night that I'm not working late. So I like that flexibility. It just, for me, that's what works best for me. I don't know if you want to add something to that.
I would definitely say the flexibility is awesome. If you have the personality that you can, you can be very focused and driven on your own. I'll jump in another positive that I thought of while you were talking about that is that when I love, obviously I post clothes for a living, but one thing, when I first started working at my corporate job, I loved putting all the outfits together and making it look really cute. For those who don't know, I think Alexa already said that, but we both worked in public accounting.
And we already talked about
this. I know, I'm saying if they haven't seen the first episode. Okay. Anyway, We worked in public accounting, and it's very conservative, you know, with when it comes to your clothes. So I would try to put fun outfits together, and my point being, I liked putting outfits together, but obviously, after it's been a year of that, you're over it. You just want to wear comfy clothes. Sitting at a skirt is not as glamorous at your desk is not as glamorous as it you imagined it. You have like a tire hanging over, no matter how lean you are.
You're bloated. Sorry to cut you off, but Sam and I, like I said, I don't know if I mentioned before that we love Mediterranean food. We would go to this buffet at lunch, and I would be wearing, we'd both be wearing these tight pencil skirts, and then I'd go and, like, stuff my face, and I, like, would be, like, not be able to breathe, and we left, and I had to sit in this tight skirt all day.
So. I mean, even if I ate that, I mean, think about it. If you're eating a lot of vegetables or anything, something that upsets your stomach, your stomach's going to get bloated, and then you're wearing this tight skirt, like, in the middle. It's just, like, cinching at the waist. We're, like,
I feel like a sausage. I had to unzip it sometimes.
Yeah, I definitely would unzip it. But so my favorite thing to wear were those Gap stretchy pants that we've posted before. I had them, like, in 5 different pairs, and I would rotate them throughout the week because they weren't as tight as a skirt, and they kind of felt like leggings.
What's your point?
My point is that, okay, my point is, I'll ramble a lot. My point is, when you work for yourself, you can sit at home in your home office or on the couch, wherever you're more comfortable, and you can just sit in your pajamas that you wore all day, or you can change into sweatpants. I mean, I'm one of those weirdos, like, I have to, like, I don't like sitting in pajamas all day, so I'll, like, work out in the morning, or if I don't, and then I'll shower and put on more workout clothes or more, like, really comfy baggy sweats that look like I'm swimming in because I'm, like, so short. So, but I'll say it, my point being is that I like the flexibility, like Alexa was saying, and then the flexibility that I can work from anywhere. If I want to, you know, if I'm out of town, I can work, you know, from there. I can sit in the mall like I was last weekend with my mom, and she had guests in town, and I was sitting in the middle of the store on my phone working. But so yeah, I can do it. My point is I can do it from anywhere. So I don't have to have like a strict, you know, like this is the office setting. I have to like dial in. No, I can just do it anywhere that I have access to my phone or email.
Yeah. I think that's definitely a positive. And I think also, I mean, there's days that I do want to get ready because you just feel more motivated. Yeah. But for the most part, it's definitely nice having the option. And I just think, obviously, who doesn't want to wear sweats all day? And then, like, another positive I was thinking of, and it's not necessarily just being a blogger, but also being just self-employed or working for yourself. Obviously, it's a synonym for that. I don't know why I said that. Is that you get to meet so many cool people. I mean, we – obviously, my corporate job, you get to meet people and you network and stuff. But I just feel like in this industry or just being self-employed, you do have to make – you have to go out of your way to network more and – because otherwise, like, you're isolated at home, like, you're just working behind a screen or you're communicating via email. But when you go to events or even if you're communicating via email, you just get so many cool opportunities and you get so – if you actually make yourself go to stuff or you put yourself out there, you can get so many cool opportunities and meet people that you normally would have never met. And it's just crazy, like, what we've done, even just when we started doing this. I mean, the people that we've met and who connected with and just people who you meet on social media, it's just really cool. So I think it's something positive. I mean, I know my corporate job, obviously I met people at work, but I just feel like maybe I wasn't putting myself out there as much. But I'm saying, like, you have to do it more because you're not working. You're just working by yourself. So,
yeah, I definitely agree with that. And then kind of going off that, another positive is that you're accomplished. Anything you accomplish is you did it. I mean, you put the work in, but you can be proud of yourself because no one else did it for you. I mean, when you're self-employed, like we've said a million times, it's on you. Like, your paycheck comes from what you do. You know, if it's not a paycheck, any kind of accomplishment you make, whether it's like, you know, you increase your social media following, or you got to work with a brand that you really wanted to work with, or you were paid a certain amount of money that you never thought you were going to be paid for something, or you just, you know, or something really like a smaller task, like you figure out how to do something on your website, or just like small feats every day. It happens every day because no one's doing it for you, unless I don't know how that could happen. But at the end of the day, if you're self-employed, everything's riding on you. And obviously, like, you know, that's why we're talking about the good and the bad, because that can be good and that can be bad. It can be very stressful, but it is, you know, there's nothing, I think nothing more fulfilling than knowing that everything you've built, like when you're supporting yourself in the good and the bad, you did it all and you can be proud of yourself and, you know, every single second of the day you did it. So
yeah, that's so true. I like didn't even think about that until you were saying. I mean, I thought about it, but in this conversation, I was like, oh, what else are the positives?
And
I was
I'm glad we're helping ourselves.
We feed off really well on each other. Too bad in school we couldn't be like, wait, What else would you add? How would you make this a better answer? I wish we could have, if only we could. Okay, well, there's obviously more positives, but not that I can't think of any right now, but I'm ready to move on to the negative.
Well, obviously with our job, another positive that you guys probably are all thinking of is, I mean, our job specifically. Yeah. That wouldn't relate to everything, but we do get a lot of really nice things that are gifted to us. So from different things like...
Yeah, we get to try so many things.
Trips to clothing.
Workout classes.
And I mean, it depends on what kind of realm you're in. I mean, we kind of cover, as you guys know, like all lifestyle. Different things. Lifestyle, travel, clothing, everything. So we get... It's fun. We get a lot of different things. I mean, I always like to point out that it's like with anything in life, it's not free. I mean, we're getting, you know, I say gifted because they want every company that we're giving something, they want something in return. Nothing is ever free. But... I'm not gonna deny that it's really nice getting to try all the newest stuff and getting to review it and stuff. So that's definitely a positive.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, well, now with the not so positive things, I think the top one would definitely be health insurance and dental, because that when you're self-employed, I remember being in my corporate job, you pay for it, but you get a much better rate. You're paying like a fraction of the price of health insurance specifically. So,
and your deductibles, yeah. For what you're getting, your deductible, yeah. Everything you're paying for, that you're paying like a fraction of it, you're getting better insurance usually. Yeah.
So welcome to the real world. When you leave that setting and you're on your own, you have to go. I mean, it's literally a disaster, especially if you're ever in your parents and you're past that age or whatever. When you're past that age or you're on your own at your own self-employed job, you have to go get insurance on your own. There's not like a magic thing that like they ever self-employ. I mean, it's your own. I mean, you just get it like everybody else.
I know. I thought we left our job. So we talked about it last episode. We did personal training between, and already at that point, we're self-employed. Yeah. So we need to figure that out. And I thought, I wasn't like that educated with like Obamacare. I thought like something I could get something for being, no, you have to have a certain level of income. And I'm not going to say the specifics because I'll probably get it wrong. But the point was, it wasn't going to work for, you know, either one of us. So we were basically like, our only choice was to have no health insurance, which we weren't going to do, or go shop for them. And they're a fortune, especially like we were just talking, when you're self-employed, I mean, you don't have a steady income coming in, and it's scary to pay for something like that for just precautionary just in case, things.
Yeah. Which I'm going to say, I was always that person who was like, no, I'm never going to be sick. What do I need this for? I'm going to the doctor and I'm paying the same, like, I'm paying, not even getting
out of pocket.
Yeah. So it's like, what's the point? But then if you guys follow me and you saw this, I spent a lovely New Year's Eve and a couple of days in the hospital. So I was so glad that I did have health insurance, because that bill would have been, I mean, it's already, I'm still paying some out of pocket, but it would have been outrageous. So I was always one of those people that was like, I don't need that. I mean, I paid for it, but I was like, this is so stupid. I don't need this.
Only if I'm like, God forbid, in a life-threatening accident.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't life. I mean, it could have been life-threatening.
No,
it
could have been.
I was really sick. So bottom line, you do have to pay for it. There's not like a special rate for you. And
I mean, it's unless very you guys, if any of you guys know anything, feel free to enlighten us. But
so that's a major downfall. But I mean, like anything else, there's a lot of positives. So I think it outweighs it. But
honestly, I mean, if you budget for it, I mean, it's, you know, it is, it's one of those things that is.
Or you could just not have it. But
I know some people that don't. But, you know, if something catastrophic happens, like it did with the Lexus, I mean, you're gonna end up paying for it.
Yeah.
So, okay, moving on to another not so fun thing about being self-employed would be, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is that you're just, everything falls on you. I said the thing that it's great, you get the accomplishments, but at the same time, there really isn't anyone you can turn to. I mean, you can get advice from people, but at the end of the day, when something's broken, you know, ends aren't meeting, I mean, it's on you. Like, you have to get up every day. You don't feel like working. I mean, that's just a decision you're making. But, I mean, that's going to determine if you're getting paid and you're going to be able to pay your bills and live your life, basically. So, it's really, that's why I said at the beginning, it's really, if you're, I mean, I hope these tips help you, not just so, like, we're sitting here ranting and, you know, saying the good and the bad. I'm saying it because I know I've gotten a lot of messages, and obviously in this generation, everyone wants to do something for themselves. So they have this, everyone's super creative in our generation, which I think is really cool. And they'll come up with different ideas that, or ideas that they want to do to become their own boss, basically. So I think these are all things that, I mean, honestly, I never thought about. I was at my corporate job and I never thought about what would be good. I honestly, everyone always thinks of the good. They're like, oh yeah, I could do everything all day. It'd be so fun.
It's so easy. I could totally do it.
And then you're in it and you're like, oh crap.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I followed bloggers when we were at our corporate job, and I would scroll through, and it wasn't even, I mean, this was like 5 years ago, so it wasn't even what it is now. It's not as saturated. And I remember scrolling through and I'm like, these people are just at lunch all day. They just like go get a bunch of clothes. They don't do, I mean, nothing I knew it was like work, but I was like, I don't even know how they make money. How is this a job? How is this hard? And then I was like, okay, I mean, it is way harder than you ever think. I'm not trying to bitch. I'm just saying it always seems easier until you do it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, basically, it's on you. And no matter, it applies to anything you're doing. Maybe you're not even, like, the main boss, but maybe you own something with someone else or you're thinking about it. The two of you are going to have to, it is, even if you get, let's say you're fortunate enough and you get something, you know, something where someone loans you money or something. I don't even know. I mean, that's not what happened to us, but I'm saying in the best case scenario, at the end of the day, you're going to have to pay them, you know, probably pay them back, or, you know, it's going to run out and it's going to depend on you eventually. So these things like healthcare and just day-to-day stuff, I mean, even if you're, you know, anything you're starting out, I mean, there might be a manual for some stuff, but other stuff, you're just going to have to figure it out. And there's no boss like at work telling you like, this is what has to get done at the end of the day. You have to kind of schedule that, and you have to just manage your time and figure out how you're going to get these things done.
And speaking of managing your time, I mean, I'm going to just go ahead and say, like, we literally work 24/7. I mean, I worked more than I ever did at my corporate job, and I thought I worked a lot then. It's obviously a decision that you make. No one's making me put on all these hours. But like I said, with our personalities, we're very driven, and I want things done a certain way. We're both perfectionists, and we definitely rub off on each other positively and negatively when it comes to that. Like, I really have to be, I mean, I'm trying to learn how to have more boundaries, but there is really no work-life balance for either of us. Not a very good one.
I think some people, the longer you've done it, are better than others. Yeah. But I have found, like, whether it's, like, I'm seeing things on stories or people sharing blog posts or different, or, you know, I keep saying blogging because that's what I can relate to. But I'm sure anyone that's self-employed, you know, if I meet people that are too, everyone says the same thing. It's very, I think that's the biggest con, is that it's very hard to separate work and like, play.
Yeah, because you're always, if it's your baby or it's your thing, which if you're self-employed it probably is, you're constantly thinking about how you can make it better or like what you can do. Or, you know, if we're somewhere, I'm like, oh, but I could take a picture here, or I could post about this. I mean, there's always something that you could be doing, and you're always thinking about it, obviously, because you care about it. So it's really hard to turn that off. And people are just like, well, it's the weekend, like, why are you working? Like, because I want to, and second of all, I just feel like I need to. So, I mean, I know you don't need to do anything, but it's just very hard for me to turn it off. And I know it sounds crazy, but it is. And it's something that we really struggle with, which we'll probably talk about in another episode. But it's started to affect our health and other issues. So it's something that we're trying to be much better about, even though I don't know how much I've actually improved, but if I'm being honest. But, it's definitely a con, because just with my personality. But like anything else, I just have to learn to adjust that and make adjustments.
So another, probably the last one I can think of, and trust me, guys, there's probably more positives and negatives, but I think these are all things to really consider before diving into doing your own thing. But the last one I can think of is taxes. And that is something, I majored in business, but...
Ew.
I majored in business, but I didn't. I literally took two accounting classes because I majored in information systems. And I did okay in them, but it's definitely not my expertise. So good for you, for all you guys that are CPAs. But obviously when at my corporate job, I would just hand everything to my CPA and I'd be like, here you go. Here's my W-9. It was very simple and that's it. But when you're self-employed, you get like all these 1099s rolling in January. And I mean, I didn't even know what that was, even though I took a class. Like, you get these in, and then you get, like, so, you know, there's just so many things day to day. I mean, yes, you can write things off, but it's, like, always the boundary of, like, what's too much, you know, and then it's like some people do their taxes on their own. I mean, I kind of do like a mix of it. We have a CPA that files a lot of stuff for us, but it's not like I just give everything to her and do it. I mean, I have QuickBooks and I have to figure that out and just like figure out how to cut paychecks and do all these different things that I never, you're running a business and you know, you don't think about these things about, you know, looking into, you have to file quarterly and all these different things that you never think about when you're just like working at a corporate job. It's all kind of done, you know, it's very simple. It's not done for you, but it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot more simple. So yeah, that's a big thing. It takes up a lot of my time and it's not just like one time a year. So, I mean, like Alexis said, all of these things are, yes, they're not like the funnest thing to do, but they're all, for me, for sure, I think for both of us,
yeah,
it definitely outweighs the positive, I mean, the negatives, like all the good stuff that comes with it. So I think the takeaway from this is just basically, if you're thinking about it, I think it's really good to always make a list, any decision, to weigh out the pros and the cons and see if you think it's going to be worth it, because, you know, you don't want to rush into a decision. I'm always a person that likes to think about things, and I think it's a good way to put things on paper rather than just making a, you know, a quick decision. And so I hope some of these will make you think about it since we've been down that road. And if you are, you know, already self-employed, hopefully you can relate to some of these, or maybe think of other ideas to fix these based on what we said.
Yeah, very true. Okay, well, this is a totally different topic, but we did talk about on our other podcast that, like we said in the first episode, all the episodes are gone, sadly. So if you missed that episode, you can listen to why they're gone. I'm not going to go into that again, but we did talk about something that is more personal on there, and since we had that episode, a lot of people messaged me like in the past couple of months and were asking questions about it. And obviously, I wish I could have directed them to the episode because it explained everything, but I guess we're going to cover it again, probably in the same similar manner. But the topic was about breast augmentation, and we got ours done actually a year ago yesterday.
It's like the anniversary.
I know. So like we had to talk
about it. I literally was joking around with Alexis. I'm like, we should get like a boob cake. I mean, I'll take an excuse to get a cake.
Right. But we didn't do it.
We didn't do it though. We can still do it.
Anyways. So we both got our breast augment, okay, our boobs done, if I'm going to be like really casual. And it was always something that I was like, I'm never going to do that. That's just, I don't know. Nothing against it. I just was like, no. I've never had any kind of surgery besides my wisdom teeth. Same with Sam. And I just was like, obviously it scared me. And I just like associated it, I don't know, kind of negatively, I guess, in my mind for whatever reason. But I will go ahead and say that we both, our mom has bigger boobs and we in college had like double D cup size, and we're very petite. We're 5'1", so it looked like we had fake boobs already, and we got asked all the time when we got them done or whatever, because just for our size, they were pretty big. They didn't look too big, but like they looked, I mean, we were pretty petite, like I said. So we started after that, after college, we started getting into fitness and working out and just eating healthier overall. And of course, if you're a girl and you know, if you lost some weight, you know what happens. You lose a bunch of weight. You lose a bunch of fat in your boobs because it's obviously body fat.
Unfortunately, it's the first place it leaves.
And a lot of guys are like, well, like our dad was like, well, if you put on weight, you'll just gain weight. I'm like, yeah, I'll gain it everywhere. And it's probably not going to go to my boobs. Like maybe a little bit.
Small amount.
Yeah. So it doesn't really work that way, unfortunately. And I don't know about Sam, but I lost like several cup sizes. I mean, I still had some, but I would wear like the Victoria's Secret bombshell bra. So like in clothes, it looked fine, but in swimsuits, over the years, I wasn't very confident. I felt like a boy. Like from the side, I was like, I look so flat. I mean, yeah, I looked fit, but I was like, I want like a little bit of cleavage. Nothing crazy, but I just wanted more, like a little bit more to fill out the tops. So I never really considered it, but two of our friends had done it the year before and they had nothing but positive things to say. And it was like the first few people that like I had like a a personal experience, because I know a lot of people have them, but I didn't know someone personally that had gone through it and like what the whole process was. So they had already done it and they had nothing but good things to say about it. I mean, obviously who wants to have a surgery, but they just made the experience sound like it was something doable. And I was like, okay, well, I'm willing to go get a consultation because I really just want to see what this is about. And Sam wasn't exactly like, she was kind of on board, but she was like, I'm just going to see what he says. We got to the office and we watched like a video and Sam was like, no. We looked at each other and I was like, yeah, I'm going to do it. And she was like, no, I'm not. She's like, no, I'm not doing it. And this was like in January, I think. And I was like, I don't know. I was like, yeah, I'm going to do it. I mean, obviously it scared me because they go through all the complications and everything. But I also was like, I really want to do it. And I'm going to start by saying the people, the girls that we know that had already done a lot of research and found this doctor. And I obviously did research too. And obviously when I went for the consultation, I felt extremely comfortable with him. And if I didn't, I would have never gone through with it because it is your health and it's very, I mean, you can have a lot of complications. It can be very scary. So we went to the consultation and by the end of it, we felt so comfortable. And not that the doctor was like pushing anything. I just felt ready to do it. And we booked our date and everything. And I mean, the amount, so whatever. So we booked the date and with the amount of stuff, I mean, I was like, okay, we'll just book it and we'll be ready to go. Okay, February, whatever, we'll get it done. Well, it's not that easy. You have to go to all these doctor appointments. I already forgot like how much you have to do for this. I mean, you have to get a mammogram because we have like a history of breast cancer in our family. And you have to go to all these physical appointments. And like, I just remember like doing a bunch of urine. I mean, all these crazy things. You obviously have to see if you're pregnant, all these things. I mean, I can't remember. I remember we went to like so many appointments. It felt like it at least. I don't know.
Yeah.
Remember? And so you do all that. You have to make sure you're healthy and ready for surgery. And then you do all that. And obviously you pick the day. And for us, of course, because we're twins, we did it the same day. I mean, it's not because we're twins. It's just because I didn't want, like, one of us didn't want to go and then, like, have to watch the other one and then, like, go, like, a week later. It just, like, would be horrible. So we both did it the same day. Of course, I was lucky. And I got the first slot in the morning. And mine was at, I think it was at 7 a.m., but you to be, like, at 5 or something, like, super early. Sam was, like, there was someone in between us, so she didn't go until, like...
Like,
1 p.m. But I'm gonna just... So, like, we went to a really good doctor, a really good plastic surgeon, and we...
If you guys want the name, like, yeah, you guys can always message us. If you live in Dallas or want to do it in Dallas.
We went in Dallas, obviously, but... So, like, I had the surgery, and I mean, obviously, I was nervous the day of. I was very nervous, but I knew I was in good hands, and I was just, like, ready to get it over with. So, I had it. I don't think it was, like, more than, like, an hour and a half. Oh, by the way, we have it under the muscle, because people always want to know. Under the muscle, and we have silicone implants, and I always thought, and so, like, these are the questions that I thought, because they're all, like, obviously everyone thinks. I was like, well, am I going to have to get them redone in 10 years? Like, that's so annoying. I don't want to go through this again. And he said that if you wear a very supportive bra, like, I literally sleep in a sports bra every night, and I never used to sleep in a bra.
And both of our boyfriends, I think in the beginning they thought.
They think, like, we're so weird. I know they still do, but I'm like, I'm sorry. I already went through all this pain. Yeah, if you went through it, you would do the same thing. I mean, most people don't probably, but anyways, if you wear a supportive bra when you go to sleep, nothing like, not like a heavy duty sports bra, but something that just like kind of keeps them in, then they should stay, you know, with grabbing stuff, they should stay in place. And then the other thing is, when I'm working out, we wear very high support bras. So, like, they look like grandma bras. I try to get fun colors.
No, they're not the fun, like, cute Nike. Yeah. No.
Like, the cute strappy Lululemon ones. I mean, I wear those to sleep. I don't know. I used to work out in those. And I definitely did not sleep in bras. But it is, like, I mean, it's very important to me not to redo them. So, obviously, if you breastfeed and stuff, I mean, I think that factors in a little bit. But if you really take care of them, you shouldn't have to redo them. Unless you have some kind of complication or they're just droopy in your opinion. But that kind of eased me too because I was like, I don't have to do this every 10 years. Anyways, the surgery, like, I never had a surgery before, like I said. I don't remember much. I remember being wheeled into the ER, but I mean, not the ER, the operating room. But I don't really remember anything after that. And then, like, when I woke up, I really felt fine. I mean, obviously, you feel like you have a big weight on your chest. You're like all on a bunch of pain medicine, but I felt like I just had someone sitting on my chest. It's very tight, obviously, because they move the muscle, and I knew what to expect. They give you, like, our doctor was extremely thorough and perfectionist, and he gave us, like, all these handbooks of everything to expect, all the pills you have to take.
I mean you're almost to the point you're, like, scared.
Yeah, but you're so prepared. It's, like, crazy, and he makes sure that you're, like, yeah,
you know. You start taking stuff, like, 2 weeks before.
Yeah. So you're, like, in it. I mean, there's no turning back.
I mean, you can,
I'm just kidding. But I wouldn't have changed my mind anyways. But afterwards... they wheeled me back into after I was fine, they wheeled me back to, like, the recovery room, and Sam was in there because she hadn't gone yet, so it was, like, so fun.
No, I was in the actual hospital room.
Okay, sorry, I meant the hospital room. Sorry. So I like had mine done. Of course, like you're wearing a big gown, like you can't see them. But I was like, oh, I wonder what they look like.
I know.
Like,
let me invest
you. I took like a bunch of selfies in my face, just so I can remember like the day. But Sam and I took one in the hot. And in the picture, I look like I'm drugged, but I remember like I looked. We'll have to.
They
share
wheeled
it.
Her right in. It was so funny.
Sam like so it was like the before and the after. But anyways, I felt they won't let you leave until like you have like you've eaten and stuff. I mean, my mom bought me a salad. I just like started eating like nothing had happened. And then I went home and I just like laid in my bed the rest of the night. And I still, this is how nuts I am. And this is like talk about type A and crazy, like addicted to work. I still posted all my posts on Instagram. I mean, nobody knew, but I just posted like nothing had happened.
Well, we did it for
we
each
posted
other.
For each other in the morning, like while we were in surgery. And then the rest of the day, I just posted. Yes, I did all my posts. I think it's psycho.
Looking back on it, I'm like, that's insane.
Like, I needed to just, like, relax.
Take the day off.
Yeah. But, I mean, I wasn't hiding it, but also I wasn't, like, out there sharing, oh, by the way, I'm having surgery today.
I know. I'm, like, kind of superstitious that way.
And we're kind of private when it comes to that stuff. But anyways, so then Sam went later.
I went later, and like Alexa said, I was, like, happy to get them done. But you have to understand, by 1 p.m. when my actual surgery was, I think I got there, like, at I don't know what time I got there, maybe like in the late morning, but Alex was already done. And I was like jealous of that because you cannot eat anything.
Oh yeah.
You cannot eat anything the night, like after you go to sleep after a certain time.
Oh wait, you have to talk about what you use to get to the hospital.
Hold on. Okay. You cannot eat anything at a certain time because of the anesthesia. You cannot eat anything after a certain time the night before. So obviously I eat nonstop. I like literally don't stop eating all day. So that was like kind of hard because I'm like, okay, it's one thing she gets up at 5 and she doesn't eat. That's fine. That's normal. But my surgery's at 1. So you can imagine by 1, you can't drink anything either.
You can have like little sips of water to take the pills.
But I drink so much water throughout the day. Yeah. So I could not. So when I got to the hospital, I felt so dehydrated. Let me backtrack how I got to the hospital. My mom came into town. They didn't live here at the time. My parents didn't live in the Dallas area at the time. So my mom came in for our surgery. I feel so badly for her having to witness two daughters going to surgery. But she took Alex to the hospital. And then she waited for me to get there. She really couldn't come back because Alexis was in surgery when it was my turn. So I just decided I was going to Uber to the hospital. And, I mean, it was pretty funny. I don't remember the Uber driver knew, but he just dropped me off right at the hospital. And I just, like, took myself there, which I just thought was really funny. It was funny in the moment, but I would be the person that Ubers there. But anyway, so, like, by the time I got to the hospital, I was, like, so dehydrated and so hungry, obviously. But it's fine. Once you get there, you check in and everything. That's when Alex and I were in the same room, and it was so funny. But they gave you a bunch of IVs. Like, they have to check again if you're pregnant, which they said, which was, like, I was, like, laughing because I knew I wasn't. But they said some people in there, they say they're not. They weren't when they did the physical and the day of the surgery.
Oh, my God.
They said they've had some people that were pregnant, and obviously you cannot get the surgery. And it's, like, awkward. Your family's there. So I'm like, thank God, goodness it wasn't me. But anyway, so they like, I remember you had to like clean off your chest.
Oh yeah, they put this orange, and I like broke out from it. I don't know, I got some kind of rash.
You didn't. They put the orange. We just wiped it off with alcohol.
Oh yeah,
and then
they mark you up.
They mark you. Well, no. So then they gave me a bunch of IVs, and that's like, and then I felt so much more hydrated because my body was getting, you know, saline in my body. So then I kept having to, you know, to pee all the time because of all the fluid they're putting in me. But anyway, so then they go down, they take you down, I don't know what you said, but they take you down, and the doctor comes and marks you up, and
like it was, how you see on TV.
And it was so embarrassing because Alexis had like, I think a female, did you have a female nurse? Well, I did not. And when it was my turn, they wheeled me down to pre-op, and you're like, it kind of looks like you're like in an emergency room, but without all the drama, because you're like separated by curtains. Yeah. And he comes in, he marks you up, and like, you're so cold because like, it's just freezing in the hospital, and you're like in the little gown. And of course, typical me, they like mark me up, and I like have to pee like 5 seconds later. I'm like, so they have to undo all the blankets, take me with my IV to the bathroom.
Yeah.
But anyway, of course I get like this good looking nurse. I'm like, I mean, he was married. I was trying to hit on him, but I'm like, of course, like I need to strip down in front of this male nurse. It could have been a woman or like someone that was really ugly. But I was like, oh God, this is so embarrassing. And like talking about what they need to fix in my surgery and like whatever. And I was like, this is so embarrassing. I probably was like tomato red. And anyway,
I'd love to see that. Yeah, you were too busy lounging at home. So anyway, yeah, then after that, they take you out of, they put you, you know, they mark you up, they put you back in the bed, and then they wheel it's time for the surgery, and I was just, like, ready to do it already, because I'd been, like, you know, nervous all morning. So they wheel me out, and then they start while they wheel you out, the anesthesiologist gives you, like, starts giving you the stuff that makes you sleepy, and for me, it's different for everyone. Like, I didn't say anything weird, I didn't do it with my wisdom teeth either, but I remember them wheeling me out to the OR. And I remember getting into the OR. I mean, I watched Grey's Anatomy. It was kind of like that, I guess. Yeah. They had really bright lights. And, like, they wheeled you in, like, on the – is it the gurney?
Or yeah. Something?
They wheel you in. And then they have, like, this, like, I don't know, like styrofoam foam thing on the actual operating table. I mean, it was just very white and sterile. I mean, there wasn't a lot of people in there. Yeah. There was a couple people in there. And then they said, okay, we're going to move you. And I already moved and, like, that's the last thing I remember. I never had to count back or anything.
I did that.
Because I was already passed out. And like the next thing I remember, I just remember laying down. And the next thing I remember was opening my eyes in the recovery room. So yeah. I don't even remember. I mean, I was like, if you're scared to think, what if you feel something or I don't know.
Yeah, oh my God, that'd be horrible.
No, I just wake up. And the best way, if you haven't had surgery, the best way to describe anesthesia, like if they do it the right way, I didn't get nauseous. I've had friends that got really nauseous. I mean, I think they gave me something for nausea, but I don't really think I get that nauseous in general. And I didn't. I was nervous about it. I felt fine relatively, because you wake up and you're literally, it's like you're like in a haze. It's like all these other people in there and you just feel like you're like in another planet. It's like you woke up from the best sleep ever. You're just so relaxed. And you just feel so rested, even though you just had, like, this major surgery. But
then the pain's up.
But then, then you wake up, and I told you I'm a little psycho. Like, I wanted to get out of the hospital. You could stay there as long as you wanted. Like, I don't think they're going to kick you out, because it feels so, you just feel so rested in there. You don't want, you really, it's, like, the kind of sleep, like, you know when you, like, take something to go to sleep, and you just want to keep sleeping?
Yeah.
Like, that's the feeling. But I wanted to, like, go home, and, like, you have to hang out in the hospital for a little bit after that. So I, like, made myself open my eyes, and then I got, like, a nurse to come over so that she can, like, check on me to see if I could, like, be, you know, transferred to my room. So I did that, and then you're transferred. That's when Alex saw me on her turn. So I went back, and the best when then, obviously, the pain starts setting in. They give you, like, a lot of stuff for the pain, but, like, Alexa, the best way to describe it, it's not so much, like, a pain. It is a pain, but it feels, like,
tight,
and it feels like the most amount of pressure you can imagine on your chest, like, almost where it's hard to breathe. You just feel, like, this humongous weight is on you, like unimaginable weight is on your chest, and it's like you're kind of scared, you can't really breathe, but it's just from the surgery.
Your muscles are really tight.
And then after, so we were discharged, obviously separately. I'll never forget, I was discharged with my mom, and one of my friends was coming over like to visit us at our house, and Alexa's already at home, and so your throat's from the anesthesia, your throat's scratchy. Like kind of scratchy, and it's like kind of narrow, like her food to go down. Of course, I don't know what I ate in the hospital. I don't think I ate it. I don't know if I did, but they discharged me, and then we went to Central Market, and I was like about to go inside. Like I felt that fine. My tolerance is a little ridiculous, but I was like, I wanted to go inside. Then I realized like I have tissue paper, not tissue paper. I had cotton in between my boobs.
No, it wasn't.
It
was like tissues.
Gauze. Oh, gauze. It looks like tissues, like stretched out gauze.
You're like wearing this like nude, like it looks like a grandma training bra. It looks like a training bra. Like you close it up in the front. And you have to wear that for a long time.
And I mean, it's weird. All of a sudden you have like boobs, but you have, our doctor put like, and I've seen it on other people. They put like this, it almost looks like tissue. Like you're like in the, you know, in the like 1300s or something. And it's like in between your cleavage and you cannot remove it. You have to leave it there for a couple days till you go back for your post-op appointment. So I had a hoodie on, but it looked like I had like a third boob. Like I remember snapping Alexis, like I have a third boob. And so so long story short, I stayed in the car and my mom went into Central Market and she literally bought out like all the roasted chickens they had and like
every roasted vegetable.
She literally called me and like named everything from the case that they had. If you haven't been, it's like
Whole Foods.
It's like Whole Foods basically in Texas, and they had like all different roasted vegetables, and most people were leaving like soup. No,
they don't even eat anything.
They don't eat anything.
Crackers.
They're nauseous. I'm like, no, we had a full meal. I mean,
relatively because, like, my throat was so small, I could barely, I still managed to eat some chicken and vegetables, and, like, it was a normal night for me.
Yeah.
But my friend
and I was going up and down the stairs.
My friend was laughing in our house. We have a staircase, and, like, we're not supposed to be, you're supposed to be, like, enough movement that you don't get a blood clot, but you're supposed to be taking it very easy. I mean, we did take it easy, but we were going up and down the stairs and, like, chatting, like, nothing had happened.
And then you have to wear, I forgot what these, you have to wear these compression tights. Oh, right. For, like, I think for, like, 2 weeks, and so I would wear them under my jeans because, like, to prevent blood clots, and it's the worst to sleep in. It's so tight and uncomfortable. It's like you're wearing pantyhose. It's not, and then it was like spring. I couldn't, like, I had to, like, hide my ripped jeans. I don't know. It was, like, horrible.
What a rough life.
Yeah, it was hard.
But and I already went for the post-op. He was like, are you wearing them? I'm like, oh, yes, I am.
I'm just making them stylish.
But, I mean, after, they want you to walk a little bit. I mean, nothing, nothing intense. Just, like, get up. Don't be, like, stationary on the couch all day. Like, get up so you don't get a blood
clot. And then
clot.
You have to do, I don't know about, like, other surgeons, but you have to, the day of your surgery that night, you have to start being very mobile with your arms. You have to raise them above your head, and it doesn't sound bad when your chest is literally that tight. You cannot move your arms above your head, but you have to do it. You have to push through the pain because he'll test, like, he would test you, come in the next day, and he's like, okay, do your arm movement. He already shows you what to do ahead of time. And I, like, and before the surgery, I was like, oh yeah, it's a breeze. And then when you do it, you're like, oh my god, this really
it's kind of like ripping off a band-aid where you don't want to do it. But he's like, I liked it about him. He was like a stickler about it, and it was like, you cannot cheat, you had to do it.
Yeah.
And the reason he does it is because, like, obviously the muscle, it will harden as tight, it heals and get tight, and obviously then you have to redo them. So that's when they start looking deformed.
So
and bad.
Like, you have to do that.
Oh, hard. There's one thing a lot of people ask, like, it does after the surgery, they look, so when you get it done, they look really weird. Like, when you first get them, I could think about it, they're putting basically like water balloons inside your chest, and they look kind of deformed. I mean, people say they look
they're
square.
Really high.
They don't look, they mind you, I mean,
I remember I put us, we went to Target and tried on swimsuits like a
we
week
keep
or
jumping
two.
Over
I
him.
Know, but we went, we went to Target because I was trying to say how high they were, and we put on my swimsuits, and my boobs were like up at my neck. And I was like, he looks so good.
We're like, no. But anyway, when you get home and, like, you can finally, like, shower and do something, it's so weird because, like, yeah, your boob is, like, in your armpit.
You can't
it's weird.
And you can't feel anything.
They're numb for, like, a couple weeks. I mean, you can't feel anything. And they're just so high. You're like, what is going on? But they don't, like, so they told me, don't be, like, worried. They look square. Like, I promise they're going to settle. Mine didn't look square. They just, like, they were really high up.
Yeah.
Like, they, you know, they looked weird. Not even, like, fake. They just looked really weird. And so they do settle as months go on. I mean, it's been a year. I mean, I would say in a couple months they go down. But they're obviously, compared to real boobs, I mean, it depends on the look you're going for. Everyone always asks us the size, and I think it's hard, even if I knew, I mean, I kind of know the size, but it's not, for our doctor, I didn't pick this size. It's kind of weird. I told him I want them to look very natural and kind of like what I had in high school, in college, and I trusted him. It was kind of weird. I was like, this is kind of weird, but he's like, no, like, I'll come with a bunch of sizes, and I know you'd kind of pick like a range of what, like, not numbers, but what you wanted, and then you would... He decides for you in the operating room what it looks like. So I didn't know what I was getting until I came out. But even if I told you guys the sizes, I mean, if you email me, I kind of tell you what I had. But the thing I don't really like about that is that everyone's body's different. Mm-hmm. Like, I had bigger boobs to start. Obviously, I needed a boob job. But I'm saying I had, like, enough tissue in there. And some people are, like, flat. It really depends on your body.
Yeah.
What size you are, how it looks on you. So what I had put in my body might look completely different, bigger or smaller on you. So I think you just really have to look, like, trust your doctor and talk to them about it. And as far as, like, their methods and everything, our scars, like, under our boobs, some people get it, like...
Oh, the fold.
The fold, sorry. Yeah. That's the correct term. Some people get it in their nipple or different things, but that's how our doctor does it. He does it a specific way. So, I mean, I think you just need to find out who you're comfortable with and...
Oh, and then another thing I know people are going to ask about the working out. So I had never taken... I mean, since we started working out at, like, our last year of college, I had not taken, like, more than, like, a couple days off at a time for anything. So this, you cannot lift anything heavy. You definitely cannot work out for like at least 4 weeks. No sex, no working out, no cardio. Like, the only thing you can really do is go on like very, very short walks and like very slowly. So it was like, that was one thing that was like holding me back from the surgery. I know it sounds crazy. Like, who wouldn't want an excuse to not have to work out? But I'm like, it's so much of a thing of my routine. I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do all day? That sounds horrible. Like, I get a lot of my stress out when I'm working out, and 4 weeks not being able to work out every single day is like a lot. But it honestly, like, you're not the first week. You're not, like, in any condition you're working out anyways. You're so tired.
You don't want to think about it.
You don't want to even, like, you couldn't even imagine working out. And then, like, as you start feeling better, you know, like, you're not supposed to. And, like, we did not. I didn't even test it. I didn't even try. Even if how great I felt, I was like, no, it's not worth it.
Well, that's what our doctor, because some people get terrible bruising and, or they just get, not necessarily botched, but you just really, you're in bad shape after the thing. And, like I said, everyone's different. But he was very highly recommended, and for that reason, and he was more expensive, obviously, but, I mean, it's your body. It's worth the investment. We had no bruising whatsoever. I mean, obviously, I had a scar, but you couldn't even, looking at me, you couldn't even tell I got a surgery. Like, I had no bruising anywhere. I mean, obviously, it was sore, but, like, I could hide pain really well, and so you couldn't tell. Besides the fact, I just had no energy, but that's, he was saying, you start feeling really good, and he was, like, worried about us because we're so type A, and I work out so much. He was like, you better not do it. Do not work out. You're going to start feeling, once you start feeling really good, you'll be like, oh, I can do it, and he's like, and that is when you start bleeding. You have a hematoma, and you have to go back into the operating room. And he's like, I look at you, you have no scars, I mean no bruising, meaning no bleeding, and you come back with any kind of bleeds, it wasn't because of me, it's because you overdid it, and it might not even be working out. It could be like you decided to do go some out cardio to,
yeah,
you started no, to walk cardio, too much,
or you went and did errands,
you did too much. That's the whole thing. You cannot lift anything over 8 pounds. You did too much. And that reminds me, I'm rambling, but our parents, like I said, they didn't live here at the time. We cannot lift anything, so we went home to El Paso where our parents were living at the time, a couple days after our surgery, and we had our suitcases, and like we needed the Uber driver to come in and help us, and they were like, what, like these spoiled brats can't lift their own luggage, but you have to be careful. And that's why we went home, so that our mom and other people there could help us carry things around the house or whatever we needed to do, since we couldn't really do it ourselves. So I would definitely say make sure someone's at home and can help you, or travel somewhere that where you will get that help, because you don't realize how heavy things are. Like 8 pounds really isn't that much. Like you can carry, like, I think a thing of milk is, like, that weight. So, you really, anything less than that or more than that, you cannot carry. You'll mess up your job. So, I think those are all things to consider. But definitely, having gone through it, I mean, it is something painful. But if you're considering it, I would go to different doctors. Really do your research. Don't just pick one because it has a big price. And the thing about it is it's out of pocket. So, you know, save up for it. I mean, plan for that. I mean, at least for us, everything from the anesthesia to the implants to the surgeon, everything is completely out of pocket. So, you know, you need to save up for that. And just really, I can't stress enough, do your research. I mean, something might seem like a great idea. You know, it's not the kind of thing you want to get a Groupon for. And really do your, make sure you get, you know, honest reviews, not from people online, but also, like, people, real people that you might know. You know, I know it's something you can't really ask, who did you go to, but, like, on our street. But some people want the fake look. I want something very natural. I think that until I'm wearing a swimsuit, people really can't tell. Mm-hmm. And that's what I wanted, because I don't, you know, I want, you know, obviously I do like, I will say, like, I'm not a guy, but I like, what I like having having a breast augmentation is that they're fuller on the top. And you have natural breasts, they obviously tend to sag as you get older, and they're just not like perky at the top. So obviously when I'm wearing some of these camisoles, I get a lot of messages saying, what kind of bra do you wear? And having had larger boobs, like a larger chest, real and, you know, with implants, when you have real ones, you kind of have to wear a bra, like a strapless bra. They just like kind of sag, not sag, even if you're young,
droopier.
They're just droopier. Like they're not going to hold up on their own. Like this is like a, basically like a water balloon inside of you, and they're going to look higher up. So you don't need, it's like kind of like they're pushed up with a bra, but they're not. So you can wear the little pedals and stuff like that when you're wearing tank tops, when they're obviously real, but they're not going to have that pushed up look. That's what, when you see that in a swimsuit, the girl might have kind of small boobs, you're looking at a picture, but having had them when they're kind of higher up and pushed up in a swimsuit, when there's like nothing to push them up, that's, she definitely has a breast augmentation, and you can get them really small. It doesn't mean you need to go big, you know, it doesn't mean you need to have like, you know, double D if that's not the look you're going for. I mean, that wasn't what I was going for. It's just what fit my body, but it's just really personal preference. Some people just really want them really big. But I would just, my main point is find someone really good, do your research, get like personal testimonials, and then also figure out the size before you go in, and really like make sure it's what you want. Not because you're paying this price, you think you should get more for what you're getting. Like you're going to have to live like this and then get them redone if you don't like them. Mm-hmm. So you might want the fake look at the time, but then like years later, you're like, this is heavy. I don't want to deal with this. And it's like hurting my back and it looks trashy. I don't want it. So, I mean, obviously I'm not bashing that. I'm just saying really think about what you want. It's a big investment.
Yeah. overall, I'm so happy I did it, and I, like, honestly regret that I've done it. Like, it's been, I mean, it's only been a year.
I know.
But I, like, forget that I have them all the time.
Even after a couple months, I, like, forgot about it.
Yeah. So anyways, all in all, highly recommend it. And if you have any questions, you can always DM us or send us an email if you have specific questions about the breast augmentation process or anything about it. And we're going to finish up with our favorites from this week. And this week we're going to talk about our favorite beaches to visit. They're both not in the United States. I mean, there's some beautiful beaches in the United States, but these are both outside of the United States. And I'm going to talk about one of my favorites, and it's Cabo. And I'm sure a lot of you guys have been there or have heard about it. And I honestly hadn't been there until a couple years ago. I mean, obviously I'd heard about it. And we'd been to Cancun in, like, high school, but I hadn't been to, really, Mexico, a lot of places in Mexico. And I love Cabo. We're actually going there. Speaking of being, like, high stress, but Sam and I are going on a little short trip by ourselves this next week, just for a couple days, where we're not working. Like, we'll probably do a little bit, but we're not. It is not a work
trip.
And it's
so funny. My boyfriend asked me, he's like, when's the last time you guys went on a trip that you didn't work? And we, like, looked at each other. We're like, never.
This is, like, literally not a work trip. We're not staying in a hotel. We're not promoting anything. This is just
We are staying in a hotel.
Yeah, we're not promoting one. It is literally for us to relax. So hopefully that keeps me accountable, because I know I'm gonna be like, well, I need to post, like, Snapchat, Instagram stories, but we'll probably do a little bit, but we need to be, like, we're trying to be off our phones, off our email, and have kind of decompressed. So that's where we're going, and we love Cabo. I think there's so many great hotels. I like staying the all-inclusives, but there's some really, they're really nice ones. They have a really cool marina, some cool restaurants, like, fun activities to do, but it's just, and it's only a 2.5-hour flight from Dallas, so I love it even more because of that.
Okay, I second that. But in picking something different, I love Grand Cayman. If you guys follow us, you know that we go there every year with our family. It's been, like, one of our traditions since high school. But it's just gorgeous. I know a lot of you guys stop on cruises there. I mean, that's how my parents found out about it originally. They went there on their honeymoon, and they stopped as one of their stops, and it was their favorite spot. So I know it's a very popular destination with cruise lines, but it's literally, when you see the screensavers, when it's, like, that really pretty aqua blue water ocean, that's literally what it looks like there. It looks like a postcard. There's a 7-mile beach. There's a ton of different hotels there. I mean, we usually stay at the same one. I've only stayed at one hotel there, but they have nice hotels, like, at different price ranges. I know they opened some new ones too, and I loved last trip. We kind of do the same routine every time we go. I've been one time in the winter. Obviously, that is high season, so everything's, like, double the price. The other times we've been is in the summer, so, like, you know, it's good to book a trip there, like, plan for one now. The prices are a little bit lower than they are, like, obviously in the spring. So it's better to go in the summer if you're trying to save a little bit more. And the weather's still really nice. It's in the 80s. You know what it is now. It stays that way. It is very humid, but the weather and the water is gorgeous. It's, like, literally crystal blue. It's warm, which I like. It's not like those cold water, ocean water. You can literally take a bath in there. It's so warm. And you get, like, the best tan there. It's literally, I look brown after the first day. I look like it, you know, I really look like I got, like, some good fake tan, tanner going. Anyway, it's just, everyone speaks English there. There's some really good Italian restaurants because people move there from Italy. So it's, like, genuine Italian food. And it's very easy to get to, like, a 3-hour flight or something from Houston. It's, like, you can go direct from Dallas and Houston, and, like, I know Miami, it's very quick. People from all over go there. And yeah, I just love it. It's, I don't know. I just love going there. It's a tradition, but we did last trip. We tried, like, we weren't staying there. We went to the Marriott, and they had, like, all you can eat lobster, which Alex and I, like, definitely took advantage of. And of course, and then they had another night. They had another buffet night, which I loved because we go to, like, the same spots. But if you guys have, want any suggestions, I think we have a blog post on Grand Cayman and restaurants we like there, because I know more and more people are going there. So definitely check that out. You can always email us. I've had people email me. They remember that we went there and they one is recommendations, so we're always happy to help for either place. So yeah, I'm sorry for all the rambling, but it was a lot of talking.
This is, like, genuinely how we are. We ramble, we talk over each other. So, like, so that's what we love doing the podcast, because I feel like on Instagram we're just like, I say, here's my outfit. I mean, not that I love posting my outfits, but I don't think you get to see our personalities. So I hope this is fun for you guys to kind of get to, like, hear us and our real voices. But anyways, it was so fun catching up with you guys. I hope you guys are enjoying all our episodes recently, and we will definitely be back. Like I said, we're going to try to be on a regular schedule, and because we truly love doing it, and we hope you guys are enjoying it. So please, again, don't forget to rate and review us and subscribe. It would mean so much to us, and we will see you guys soon. Bye.